Alexander Snitker, libertarian, Republican, and political hack. And Adrian Wiley, born-again anarchist and political has-been. Banter, blather, and joke about current events while attempting to figure out whether to keep trying to salvage our constitutional republic or just stock up on marshmallows to roast on the smoldering embers of society. It's time for Unattended Baggage.
Why, thank you, Ledge. Hello, everyone in Podcastville or Internet Land or wherever you may reside. This is Alex, co-host, Unattended Baggage. Along with me is my radio life mate, the man, the myth, the legend, Mr. Adrian Snitches Get Stitches. Wiley, how are you doing, sir?
You know, I've searched high and low, and I haven't been able to find Podcastville. I don't think the place exists. I think you're lying to us.
What do you mean?
I don't think there is a Podcastville.
Oh, there absolutely is a Podcastville.
And I've never heard of a town called Internet Land.
5 miles north of Reddington Shores.
I think that would be Bel-Air. Bel-Air Beach.
Well, it's also known as Podcastville.
Podcastville, Bel-Air Beach.
There you go.
I wonder if we have any listeners there.
Maybe one.
I kind of doubt it.
His name's Tim.
Tim?
Yeah.
Okay. Tim lives in Bel-Air Beach and he listens to the show. Hi, Tim.
Welcome, Tim.
Alex has been talking to you at the beginning of every show.
you don't like my intro, huh?
It's
not growing on you?
It's your thing. You know, it's your thing. I'm not going to take away your thing, but, you know.
I appreciate you not taking away my thing.
You know, it's you're not the sharpest pencil in the box, so it's the kind of thing you would expect.
I'm pretty sharp.
Yeah. Yeah. You're the sharpest light bulb in the pack.
Damn right I am. I'm LED.
How you doing today, man? We did not talk at all this week.
No. I'm doing, you know what? I'm doing pretty good. I'm doing good. I'm happy right now.
Are you?
Not happy, but like I'm content with watching what's going on in the world.
Yeah, I'm kind of the same way. I'm at the point where all the anger and sadness has, you know, gotten to the point of subsiding, and I'm more just, you know, enjoying the absurdity of it all.
Well, and this is why I'm glad we didn't talk all week long, though, is that I know that last week during the show, you were visibly, well, not visibly, but you definitely were mad at the Americans about America and the Americans in America for not standing up for themselves. And I think that this week you should be a little happier that you started to see mass protests around the country and business owners getting arrested.
Yeah, a little bit. But I'm still like,
you're still an asshole anarchist? I mean, in all reality.
Well, no, I'm still very disappointed in the American people and very disappointed in America in general. But I think that while the protests are good and the people have the right attitude about it, they're doing it wrong. Yeah, I am an asshole, aren't I? I'm always
like, you realize that once you said that
I know
that you were being an
you're
idiot.
Doing it wrong. But
they didn't read the right protest book.
In reality, if you want to make this right, and this is what people fail to understand, don't go begging the government for permission to reopen your business. Just go reopen your fucking business. And if everyone who was mad about it and willing to protest just went and reopened their business, they couldn't arrest you all. Or they wouldn't, because it would be political suicide, because they're arresting the people who make the community work for doing nothing other than providing a benefit to the community. So that's the difference. By protesting, you're just reinforcing the government's power over you. By doing it and ignoring the government orders, and in most cases, they're unlawful government orders. They do not have the authority to make these orders anyway. And therefore they don't have the authority to arrest you for, you know, violating these orders. They may do it, but chances are you're going to win a big fat civil suit on the back end of this. So, you know, there's upsides to everything. But yeah, the point is while I am encouraged to see the attitude there that people are willing to resist and fight back, I'm very disappointed in the way they're doing it. Just go reopen your business. Just, you know, give government the middle finger on your way to do it. And that's how you should approach this.
Hey, look, there is a lot of people, and I don't want to say myself included, not really, but kind of, look, you don't want to be the first guy stuck in the cage. And that's really what it comes down to, is that fear. And don't get me wrong, somebody in Pinellas County, and I'm sure we're going to get to the story here in a little bit, got arrested. They arrested him. I mean, you don't want to be that person. Like, people have the, you know, like liquor stores, not liquor stores, but like, there's a lot of businesses out there that require the government permission in order to operate right now.
And that's part of the problem.
Let me finish. And that is a problem. And that is the society that we live in. And we would like to change that. But how do you convince all the business owners? And I think it's going to start. Like, I think you're going to have May 1st is going to be the day when you see that people are going to open up now, no matter what. And that the politicians know this, though, which is why you're starting to see some states that are easing restrictions.
Right.
And then some states that are doubling down on restrictions. Like, you have, there's two different ways in which you have a response from government on this. The first response is one of, we went too far, let's back off, let's, you know, let's not do the stuff that we're doing. Then there, which what happened in Hillsborough, they had that curfew Monday, by Thursday the curfew's gone.
Oh, they lifted the curfew in Hillsborough.
Oh yeah, they voted to lift the curfew in Hillsborough. Oh,
okay,
because, well, they went too far.
Yeah, they did go too far, and I'm glad that they reversed that. But the fact that they created it to begin with and thought they had the authority to do it with to begin with, it just pisses me off.
Well, no, you're right about that. But then you also see, like, what's going on in Michigan is that they have thousands of people protest at the state capitol, and the governor there is like, I'm going to make more restrictions and we're going to do it longer. It's almost like one of those things, like when your kid messes up, you're going to get another 2 weeks of detention.
And that goes to the point that government is just so arbitrary and so just all over the place. It has nothing to do with the rule of law anymore. It has to do with the cult of personality for whoever's in power, because you get one town that does things one way and another town that does it the complete opposite. You know, you have one state that does it one way and another that does it the complete opposite. None of these people know what the fuck they're doing. They're just, you know, they're just either throwing darts or they're consolidating power, you know, and reveling in the power that they have. Like Castor in Hillsborough is one of those people.
Oh, yeah.
Just an authoritarian psychopath. And Gualtieri is starting to show a little bit of his true colors again. I thought for a while there he was going to be kind of toe the line, but now he's, you know, I guess a tiger can't change its stripes, you know?
Yeah. Damn. Look, I think that what you're seeing here is the beginning of people that, and again, there's a lot of different things, a lot of different ways that you can come out of this, like, post coronavirus thing,
right?
And it really does depend on what information is confirmed, because I don't think they're going to be able to keep all the information that is starting to become confirmed out of the general public and out of the general public's conversation. I think the internet's going to have a lot to do with that, no matter how much they're trying. Like, if you look at the Orlando protests, what they're saying about these people in the media, or what the politicians are trying to claim about these people in the media, is that they're anti-science. This is the first thing.
Right.
But in all reality, economics is a science as well as other sciences. And you wouldn't want your doctor in charge of everything. It's like, you wouldn't want your doctor to tell you that you couldn't smoke cigarettes, even though smoking cigarettes is bad for you and is going to cause all these problems. You have to take the advice of the medical professionals and then determine your own course of action based off of the advice of medical professionals.
I disagree with that. I totally disagree with that. I think that you should, in all cases, 100% of the time, you should listen to IT professionals. Because I think IT professionals, myself included, are the smartest people on earth. And as evidence of that, I present Bill Gates. I mean, he's going to save us by creating a vaccine.
Yeah.
So okay. He's going to save the planet. So, you know, we should trust IT professionals. But no, I know where you're going with this. It's exactly true that you're a science denier if you question anything. You're a science denier if you say, you know, mathematically, you know, crashing the economy completely, global economy, is going to result in a whole lot more deaths from malnutrition, preventable diseases, lack of shelter, communicable diseases, you know, all the things that people die from as a result of extreme poverty. But, you know, if you're just pointing that out, you're a science denier.
Yeah.
To me, the people right now, honestly, because now the UN just came out with a study, what I've been saying for weeks now, actually since January, is that they expect the number of children to die as a consequence of the economic results of the coronavirus global shutdown. So as the economic response to coronavirus of the shutdown is going to result in the deaths of hundreds of thousands of children in 2020 alone. So all you people who are out there saying if it saves a few lives, well, now you have the UN doing a study that says, well, because we shut down the economy, because we broke the global economy to save a few thousand people, hundreds of thousands of children are going to die globally from extreme poverty, malnutrition, starvation. Because when the economy tanks, guess what? Those people who were managing to get by on $2 a day in India or you know, $3 a day in sub-Sahara Africa, well, guess what? Now they're going to have to survive on $0 a day, and a lot of them aren't going to survive. And that is exactly what the response to coronavirus caused. So the argument that, oh, well, if it saves just one life, it's worth it. You're being greedy because you just want your money. No. No, if you understand how the world works, you know that human beings rely on economic prosperity for survival. And when economic prosperity begins to fail and collapse, people die. Lots of people die. Hundreds of thousands of children, millions of people globally are going to die from the economic consequences of the coronavirus shutdown. And that is an absolute mathematical fact. Now you have the UN saying it. But if you said that, you know, a few weeks ago, you know, oh, well, you're a science denier. Oh, well, you're just, you don't know. Well, who are you? You know, that sort of thing.
Yeah.
So, wow, we're in the middle of a thunderstorm, folks. Yeah, I hope we can stay on the air. But anyway, you know, that's what has changed in the... you know, is that people who are actually mathematically looking at the effects of it, it's as if our government and some people just can't see beyond their nose on their face. You know, they're not looking ahead.
Well, here's the thing. I think a lot of these people that are doing that, well, you're denying science, are actually morons.
Oh, yeah.
Like, they're actually complete idiots, because the thing is this.
Well.
Here's the thing. If you're that concerned and scared about this virus, without knowing that they're downgrading the number of people that are dying over and over and over again, and then you complete, like, I've never heard you say anything about a bad flu season.
Right. Or well, heart no, they dis- have. Or heart disease. But they just haven't shut down the economy over
it. You're right. They haven't shut down the economy over it. And they haven't even suggested, like, they're not out there, they weren't wearing gloves and face masks before or anything else like that. And now all of a sudden you're going to do that off of this. You have an ignorance of what proportion looks like.
That is true. That is true. But also, to those folks' defense, this was a novel virus. We didn't really know what was going to happen. But the fact that they went so crazy on the other side, erring on the side of caution, that they were willing to destroy the economy over it, that's the insane part.
Well, and they're not questioning that we're not even doing, like, we're not doing, like, if you want to get tested for this right now,
right.
You can't.
Right.
Why not? Why can you not get tested for it right now?
Well, there's not enough tests.
No. But why is there not enough tests, though? There's not enough tests because the FDA is stopping people that could just make the test from making the test.
Yeah, you know.
They're using the regulations to get in the way of people that want, and it happened from the beginning. People at laboratories wanted to be able to test for this, and the FDA told them they couldn't test for this.
I'm sure that's the case, but also I think that, you know, you can't. Even if there were no FDA regulations, I'm sure they would have a hard time keeping up with demand right now. So granted, the FDA has certainly slowed things down, and I'm a complete proponent of abolishing the FDA completely.
That kills more people than it ever saved.
It's probably a wash in the long run.
Yeah.
Honestly. Yeah. I mean, it's probably of no value. My gut tells me that it has saved lives and it's caused a lot of deaths. So
they ought to sell the FDA off to Consumer Reports.
Yeah,
and have that and have the same power as Consumer Reports is. Well, just put out the knowledge.
Yeah, just put out exactly. Be a trustworthy source for the public, and you know that sort of thing.
That's it.
Yeah, that's really all you need these days.
But because here's the thing, so now we're finding out now. So now, Stanford study suggests coronavirus is more widespread than realized. And again, this is stuff that we've been talking about. Look, two dudes on a podcast looking at base information in the internet, one of them who doesn't even really give a crap about it anymore, has already figured out that this stuff was around a long time ago because he has eyes, ears, and a nose, and a mouth.
There's literally nothing we've said, and you can go back and read or listen to our podcast over the last 6 weeks. There's literally nothing we've said that has been factually wrong. Nothing. So far. In fact, everything that we said weeks ago, and in some cases a couple of months ago, has now basically been confirmed. A lot of it, at least. And I think eventually
we're... Maybe the numbers, if we gave any specific numbers, the numbers might have been a little bit off, but...
I might have been a little high because I did originally estimate between 100,000 and 300,000 deaths in the U.S., and it looks like it's going to be way lower than that.
Yeah, even your number was lower.
Yeah, right.
Well, and so, but in looking at this, they're saying that this thing's been around for a while.
Well, that's what we've said. I had it. I'm 100%. Well, I wouldn't say 100%. I am about 90% convinced that I had it because I had all the symptoms, including now pink eye, which I thought was so bizarre.
Yeah.
You know, which they say now about 30%
of the... Can you get tested yet? You should get tested.
Oh, I'm sure I have the antibodies. I'm sure everyone in my family does.
I think you should get tested, though.
Why?
So we can find out for sure.
How do you get tested? Don't you have to have symptoms or something?
I
mean, I haven't been to a doctor in a decade. How do I go?
I think you get tested for the antibodies.
What do I do?
I don't know. We'll figure this one out. Let's see if we can get this one figured out.
It'd
be a good bit anyway.
It would be a good bit. Maybe I'll go into a walk-in clinic and use an assumed name.
I want you to use...
Wearing a mask name, so they can't facial recognition me.
I want you to use the name of Frank Underwire.
Frank Underwire? No, I'm not using that.
Okay, how about Colby Smith?
No.
Why not, man? Why not Colby Smith? Colby
I'm going Smith with Ford Sterling.
Oh, yeah. That's a good name. That's like a porn name, actually.
Wait a second. Isn't that Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy? I think that was a character in Hitchhiker's Guide. Ford something.
I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know. We'll have to look that up.
Yeah. But anyway, that's what I'm going with. Maybe we'll do that. But I'm like I said, I'm about 90% convinced, based on the symptoms, based on the time frame, that I had it. And now a lot of studies are saying that this, just saw a study that came out of the UK that says, yeah, this has been around for longer than we think. But now they're saying it was in bats for much longer time. It wasn't really moving from human to human until it hit China. But I don't even think that's correct. I think it's already done one lap around the planet back between September and January of this year. When they caught it in Wuhan, they were just catching the second round.
Yeah. No. I think that's exactly what's going on. And these reports are coming out. It's just weird, though, on how when these reports come out, that the people in the media will completely ignore all of it. And when they won't actually report on the news, they just agenda drive even this, they're just nothing but agenda driven on what should have been the most important, the most important time for you to tell the truth and to be transparent and to kind of inform the general public, that you've chosen instead to act like enabling 5-year-olds that we have in office and just acting like a bunch of dicks, like over and over and over again. Every time when you think, well, maybe this time they'll tell the truth, that they don't. And like they'll repeat like the Chinese talking points.
Right.
Like when you know that that's not true, like you know that they're lying and you're still going to repeat their talking points.
You know, here's the thing. I don't think we know much of anything yet. There's a lot of speculation, and there's speculation which is based on evidence, and then there's wild speculation, and then there's just lunacy. And one of the reasons that you know, people who are saying this virus isn't a big deal and we should, you know, reopen the world, we never should have shut it down in the first place, get flagged as science deniers, is because for every 4 of them standing there holding a protest sign saying reopen, you know, let us reopen our businesses, there's somebody there with a sign that says 5G caused the virus. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So that's the problem, is we end up getting lumped in with that small percentage of people that are actually stupid and actually crazy. You know, and that tends to happen. And that's the biggest battle.
Well,
you know, so because what happens is anytime that you say, I don't fully trust the official narrative, you get lumped in with all the tinfoil hat gang. And that's what always happens. It's the same thing. It's like the entire world split in, for no matter what the issue is, there's only two teams. And if you're not on one team, you have to be on the other team. And so the media has set up the duality as there's the official narrative and then there's the crazy people.
Yeah.
And that's what you get. You know, and that's what you have, the useful idiots who are just going to repeat whatever the media say, of course, assuming that anyone who disagrees with the media narrative, regardless of what evidence they base it on, regardless of what data they base it on, regardless of their intellect or their, you know, knowledge, they're going to get lumped in with the tinfoil hatters. And that's what's happening.
Yeah. Yeah. No, you're
right. And that's why the media is essentially afraid to go against the official narrative because they set up the duality. So if they're not that, they have to be the other.
Yeah, I guess you're right. I mean, okay, here's the thing, though, is that, and you're right about the crazies, by the way, and it really does piss me off. Even like when I was running for office, when you were running for office, the people that will have their own agenda on some pet issue and then try to hijack what you're doing in order to promote their issue.
Yeah, I know.
Was some of the most annoying people in the world. It really freaking pissed me off.
Right.
You know, that they would, and they would almost get mad at you for not backing their issue.
Right. Oh, yeah.
Like they would get pissed.
Oh, that was so common. Yeah.
Yeah.
And again, when you're running a political campaign, and this is one of the reasons I got out of politics, your default setting is to just be nice to them. You know, you don't want to tell them, look, pal, you're a fucking idiot. Get out of here. Because you want that vote. You want that support. And God, that's what I hated about politics and why one of the reasons I completely got out of it, because I didn't want to have to kiss anyone's ass ever again. Now, I probably did it far less than your average politician.
Well, yeah.
Because I had no problem.
I can't believe that you're even saying what you're saying now, considering.
Even for me, as as aggressive as I was, you know, there were cases where I wanted to tell someone, you're a nut job, and I didn't, because it's like, well, you know, you just gave me $50. What am I going to do? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. No, I hear what you're saying.
So there were times.
Which is why politicians actually. If you look at it, why they always had a separation between like the people and like they wanted that separation. Part of it was for that reason alone.
Exactly.
You know, and by not knowing that in the beginning, you end up being nice to and placating conspiracy theories or whatever that ended up holding no real value. But that what would happen is that there are conspiracies that are real, that are really going on.
Right.
And that they're able to point to the other ones to hide the first ones.
It's like I've always said that half of all conspiracy theories are half true.
Yeah.
The trouble is figuring out which half of which half.
Yeah.
You know, and that's really the bottom line. And the problem is you get lumped in with all the people who think that, you know, 5G is causing the virus and it's going to fry your brain.
It is nicer to be able to call people out for just being crazy. And I'm not nearly where you're at on that right now.
Right.
I'm still nicer to people, but I'm
no, getting... no, you're not actually.
What do you
you're
mean?
Not. I mean, I will call someone out, but you will like sever a relationship and never speak to someone again. It's like, okay, you're done. I never want to speak to you again. So,
well, no, that's true.
In a way, you're much meaner. I'll just bust someone's balls and, you know, next time we talk, we're friends again.
Oh,
you know what I'm saying?
No, I don't do that.
Whereas you, man, you hold a grudge.
Well, no. I eliminate them from my life. Here's the thing. I don't want to do anything to do with crazy people anymore. Yeah. I am done with it. I've had enough. I don't want to deal with it anymore. It was like, okay.
My tolerance is becoming lower too for that.
I have no tolerance for it anymore. You know why? Because I don't have any more time to waste. I don't have any time to waste. I wasted enough time in my life with those people, and I'm not wasting any more time. Like, it's going to sound a little weird, kind of going off on a different tangent here, but I felt like when I got involved in politics, I got involved to try to change things. And now that I realize that it wasn't really going to happen.
Right. You can't.
You can't because they don't care. Like, people don't really give a shit at the end of the day.
At the end of the day, people want to be governed.
Yeah.
They want to be ruled.
Like
even the independent people we would call rugged individualists, at the end of the day, they want someone to tell them what to do. Otherwise,
there was a lot of people that at the end of the day, when Trump started running for office, you saw a lot of people that were involved in the movement that I thought were involved in it like we were for the same reasons.
Right.
Completely change, completely just back this cult of personality because this one happens to be the one they like.
Yeah.
Like, and I don't understand how you could like Ron Paul and then like Donald Trump. Like, I can't even fathom how you made the transition.
Well, I can understand early on, you know, hoping that this guy was just the complete, you know, opposite of the establishment, the anti-establishment. I can understand early on, even though I never did, and I, you know, but I can see how some people were duped early on. At this point in time, I have no idea how anyone can say that. I mean, when he's even before the coronavirus, he completely blew up the federal deficit, completely blew up the federal budget, has trampled all over the Constitution. I don't understand how all these people are still like, well, you know, QAnon says he's going to get rid of the satanic pedophiles. Are you kidding me?
Yeah. No, I you know? Like, I have.
And the funny thing is those people were right about the pedophiles in high places. Yeah. I mean, Epstein proves that. So there's the half truth of the half truth, mm-hmm. you know, but if you're sitting around thinking, yeah, any minute now, Trump's going to lock them all up. Just good luck with that. Yeah. Let me know how it turns out.
I don't know how you're. And again, it's like I was saying, though, I want to get back to the point I was getting to is that I am sick and tired of those people and I just want to eliminate them from my life completely. And that you're right.
Yeah.
If I see somebody that says like if going down a bad road or going down some kind of stupid road, I don't want to argue with them. I don't want to try to convince them of the error of their ways. I don't want to bust their balls. I want to cut them out like a cancer and just eliminate it. I don't want anything to do with it. I don't want anything to do with those people.
Now, see, I'm not like that, but I will bust their chops a little bit and tell them they're wrong and, you know, hopefully open up a dialogue with maybe some banter and maybe a little getting on each other's nerves. Mm. But I don't want to cut those people out of my life per se.
I do.
Here's the thing. They're with you on 80% of the stuff. They just happen to be wrong on a few things.
I love how
I decide who's wrong and right.
Hold
about
on a
things.
Second though. I'm not trying to change. Here's the thing. You can be with me on 80% of the stuff. It doesn't change the fact that I don't want it. If I don't want anything to do with you anymore, what's the damage?
Well, the damage is that I've learned that you cannot change government per se directly. But what you can do is you can change people's minds. You can influence how people think. And that's what I still try to do. And I think that if enough people think like I do, the problem will eventually get fixed.
Mm.
You know,
I don't think you're gone full Carlin.
What are you talking about?
I think you've lost your Carlin card a little bit on that one.
Oh, well, I'm back and forth. I mean, totally, because also at the same time, I am so disappointed with America, and I think people are far stupider than I gave them credit for. So I'm kind of talking about out of both sides of my mouth right now.
You are. You absolutely are.
But I still think there's hope for a handful, and maybe there's hope for enough. But the vast majority of Americans are fucking morons. There's no doubt about that.
Well, at least half, you know, because average.
Half or below average intelligence, yes.
I think that's funny, by the way. Oh, by the way, so for hour number two, though, we are going to be playing the Name That Tune game if you're waiting for the Name the Tune game.
We are. We decided to do that in hour number two, mainly because some of you people are going to hate it and not want to play, but some of you are going to definitely want to play along at home. As Alex and I do Name That Tune, I think the rules are going to be that it has to be I'm going to go with mid-1960s to 2010,
uh-huh.
and the genre needs to be rock, any subgenre of rock, or do we want to go with extremely popular pop?
Yeah, sure. Top 40 pop.
God, that's going to kill me. I'd rather stay in rock.
It might. Well, we'll see. We'll see.
Yeah, I say we keep it narrow to the larger rock genre. Any subgenre of that is fine. You know, grudge, punk, alternative, you know, whatever. That will be fine.
Okay.
And we'll kind of loosely classify that.
I got you. All right, so let's get into Pinellas County, though. Let's get into... Because I do
want
to get some of
the
stories.
Coincidentally, we are in Pinellas County.
We are in Pinellas County. Your favorite sheriff.
Yes, right now.
So let's get into...
Conducting business less than 6 feet apart.
So in Pinellas this week, there was a gentleman who was owning a kitchen table game store.
Yes.
That
Galen Wood, is that his name?
Yeah.
Okay. And yeah, I'm going, if he's reopened, I'm going to do business with him.
Yes.
I have a tin full of Yu-Gi-Oh cards that I probably will go donate to him because that's what he does. He does like the card games, the Magic the Gathering and Pokemon, stuff like that.
Now, this was not considered to be an essential business. And yet he stayed open anyway. And he was warned several times.
But it's essential to him.
Yeah, it's essential to his family to make money. Yeah.
Right.
And so what happened is that he, on the 16th, was actually arrested. The businesses was receiving multiple complaints on the 3rd, the 7th, the 10th, and the 16th. And they, you know, he was issued warnings. He would become argumentative with deputies. He refused to close. And after observing the multiple violations, deputies went in there and they arrested him for doing business, for playing Pokemon. He was arrested for basically playing Pokemon.
By the way, I just want to say for the record that all you Karens out there that are calling the popo on people for being in business, as soon as the supermarkets close down, we're coming to your house first to eat you.
You said the Karens of the world?
Yeah.
Is that just a general name?
That's, yeah, the that Karens. You used? Yeah, anyone with can I see the manager haircut?
I mean, we're laughing about this, but this guy, Galen Wood, I mean, you know, kudos to you for staying open, for trying to, you know, feed and support your family. And Gutierrez, in all reality, you are the definition of an authoritarian psychopath.
Yeah.
You really are a complete piece of shit. And I mean, you're not going to get voted out of office, but I really wish you would.
Here's the thing about him is he's such a middle of the roader. You know what I'm saying? He tries to placate all sides. That's what I've noticed. Now, he's not going out and arresting people en masse, but he's still doing it. So he's not as bad as he could be, but he definitely has repeatedly violated his oath to the Constitution.
Oh, repeatedly. Yeah. No. You have a whole lot of violators to the Constitution, which I thought was actually funny is that they had the governor of New Jersey on a show this week, and the guy actually asked him, well, didn't you take an oath of office to defend the Bill of Rights? And that's above my pay grade, or, you know, like he just shoved it aside.
Yeah, they do that. God, these people, they're so disgusting.
Oh no, it you're seeing two different sides. And again, this week though, you've seen a sea change in the attitudes right now.
Yes.
Don't get me wrong. You still have people that are out there complaining, but the complaining about people being out there and the stay at home stuff is definitely going and being less, and the open everything back up is definitely getting louder and louder and louder.
Yeah.
To the point of where you did have protests around the country, like they're in several states, and so much so that, you know, being the asshole that he is, Trump is like, you know, liberate this country, liberate this state,
you know,
liberate this state.
Hang on, but I want to talk about that. Fuck that guy. Because you can't say one day that, hey, I'm in charge of everything and I'll tell the states what to do. And the next day say, well, you have to go out and fight against the states because I can't do anything about that. You know, fuck that guy. I can't stand Donald Trump, man. He is. And you motherfuckers just keep falling for it, too. Every single time. It's like literally you should be able to pick one of those tweets and say, yes, I support that. But the fact that you say I support both. So liberate Michigan and the buck stops here. I'm in charge of the states and I'll tell them what to do. Which is it? Pick one.
Yeah.
You can't have both.
Yeah. Let's have a little ideological consistency.
Those were 2 days apart.
Intellectual consistency.
You know, nothing changed in the 2 days that he made those two series of tweets.
Yeah.
It's just, I don't get it. And the people who support him they don't see the duplicity. They don't see it.
You know what they do? They
well,
only
see QAnon said.
You know what they do? They see somebody that is giving the media crap up front, and they can claim that that's their guy. It's bullshit.
Right. Again, that's really what it
is. I don't agree with it. Yeah. I don't agree with it. It's bullshit, but that's exactly what it is. Because you know what? They feel. Let's see how I can explain this. The people that I think some of the people that support Trump feel as if they've been beaten over and over again by a mainstream media, and finally there's a guy that's able to beat these guys at their own game, and they don't want to do anything against that guy because at least he, in their mind, is fighting for them.
Because once again, there's only two camps. You're either with us or against us. You're either in the camp with the media or the camp with Trump. And that's the thing. There's no nuance anymore. No one thinks in nuanced terms. So that forces people to have to defend Trump because they fear being lumped in the other camp if they don't.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, and that's really what it is. And nobody can think outside of just, you know, red or blue, black or white, you know, it just, there is no nuanced thinking. There's no critical thinking anymore. It's just everybody is a prepackaged ideology and that's it. And it drives me crazy that so few people see it, you know?
Yeah, it sucks. I mean, it does suck, but at the same time, it's all alternate, you know, it's our alternate universe that we got sucked into.
Hey, how about the Democrats offering up $2,000 per American per month for the next 6 months. How awesome is that, huh?
It's crazy. I mean, they're not going to pass that one, but
Well, and I love the fact that the
Republicans... Like, you know how much money that would cost?
Yes, I do, exactly. It would cost $4 trillion, which is the entire size of the federal budget.
Like, you can't do this. You can't do any of this. I mean, don't get me wrong, they're doing it anyway.
It literally doubles the size of the federal budget.
Yeah.
Actually... Yeah.
And that's after all the money that they already spent.
That's on top of how they already increased the federal budget by 50%. Now they're going to double that original federal
budget. I mean, look, if the unfunded liabilities are already like $100 trillion, then what's another four?
You know, and I love the fact that the Republicans are pretty much on board with it, too. So it's like you can't even... I'm telling you, the term fiscally conservative Republican is now an oxymoron.
Yeah.
Officially, because there is no such thing as a fiscally conservative Republican anymore. There's no such thing as a fiscal conservative anywhere. Massey and Paul.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's two.
Yeah.
Yeah. Unbelievable. And you know, here, people, you have to remember that these checks that you're getting, you're going to pay for them in the long run. When this shit is over, guess what? Your taxes are going way the fuck up.
I mean, you know? Something has to happen.
This is a payday loan from a loan shark. The VIG is running. You know? That's the only reason I'm taking all the money and I am so supportive of this is because I'm hoping that the federal government collapses before they can collect. You know? Before they can steal my money back from me.
Yeah. But hold on. Let me be back to the other point I was making, though. I am glad.
You were making a point?
I was trying to.
I'm sorry.
I am glad to see that you are seeing the pushback, though. The pushback is happening now much more than it was happening before, where you didn't have any pushback going on at all, and that the block me up voices were ruling the day. And now that's not happening anymore, and those people are shrinking away. We're not shrinking away, but they're not being, you know, loud out and about anymore. Like, hold on, let me give you another instance. So I don't know if we talked about this in the air last week or not, but near a Target by my house, did we talk about the Target where the people were out there tailgating?
No, I didn't hear about that.
Okay. There's this group of people that are hanging out in the Target parking lot. They're like, there's a Target and then there's a Dunkin' Donuts. These people all used to go to the Dunkin' Donuts, but you're not allowed to go to the Dunkin' Donuts anymore. So what they do is they grab their donuts and their coffee and stuff and now go into the parking lot in the Target and tailgate, basically.
Right.
Like, it's what it looks like. Yeah. They got cars around. They got, they got folding chairs, and they're sitting in the parking lot hanging out.
Are they staying 6 feet apart?
No.
Oh,
no.
Okay.
I mean, don't get me wrong. They're not, you know, they're not sitting on top of each other. They're at normal distances.
Now, this is in Hernando, correct?
This is in Hernando.
Okay. Yeah. All right. Now, the Hernando sheriff is not really bothering anybody, right?
No.
They're not coming and breaking up this gathering or anything.
They haven't that I've seen. Now, I will say this, though. When I was there, because I've seen them a bunch of times.
Right.
The last time that I saw them, there were two cop cars that were also in the Target parking lot that were...
Like talking to each other?
300 foot away from them.
Okay.
They haven't done anything yet, but they were just kind of there.
They were probably just parking. Were they parked like how they, driver side to driver side, like they normally do?
Yeah.
Yeah, they were just shooting the shit then. Yeah.
It was set up in a way, though, in which it looked like
they
were monitoring the situation.
Yeah. I don't even have too much of a problem with that, you know?
No, I don't have a real problem with that either.
Yeah.
But what they were doing, though, is that they come there, and I stopped. So I was doing deliveries, right? And I got done with my delivery, and I went back over there, and I said, look, I said, I probably already know the answer to this question, but what are you guys doing here?
Right.
And so they started explaining what they were actually doing here, and they were, we get together all the time. There were a bunch of old people, too. That's the thing. It was a bunch of people that were 16 above.
Right.
You know, like, this is the target market for the virus, basically.
Right.
And so they were there, and they were like, we hung out, we get together, we do cruises, we do all this stuff all the time. We always get together. We're not going to stop now because of this coronavirus.
Mm-hmm.
And as I'm sitting there, though, they had one or two people that drive by and they said, I hope y'all get the corona, and just like a bunch of assholes.
Right.
But that's what people are starting to do, is they're starting to just get back and associate with one another and just to try to, keep that human interaction going.
Yeah, you can't stop human nature. I mean, we're tribal beings. We're always going to find a way to get together, so that's going to happen naturally, regardless of the risk.
Well, and the thing is people are going to die. Like, life is risk. That's the other thing.
Right.
Like, you're not heartless for saying that life is risk and that some of these people are going to die, but the vast majority of the people that die are dying because, A, they have some other pre-existing condition that the flu could have killed them, or that they're just really fat. Like,
not even so. It's mainly that they're old. But pre-existing
fat,
condition.
But
old.
Being fat is part of it, though. No, right. Being fat's one of them, too, though.
Like, is it?
Being overweight
now, I've
has
heard,
other conditions.
I've actually or heard.
I think obese was the word that they were using.
Well, yeah. Which is, what, 70% of Americans?
It's a large amount.
Something like that.
It's a large amount.
So basically, I don't think obesity is as nearly as big a factor as age and any other respiratory condition. That seems to be respiratory cardiac conditions. I've seen posting from people. I saw one person who had a friend who was in hospice with terminal cancer, and that person died, and they presumed the death to be from COVID-19. Another person also in hospice.
That number's counting towards the COVID-19 numbers.
They actually on the death certificate they counted it as COVID-19.
Yeah.
So the numbers are, when the dust settles on this and we look back at it with a historical eye as opposed to an in the moment emotional eye, when mm-hmm. we actually crunch the numbers, we're going to go back and see that probably the mortality rate was comparable with the flu.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to see that the number of infections was way, way, way higher than we thought.
Mm-hmm.
So essentially what COVID-19 ends up being, and again, people will attack you for comparing this to the flu because it's not the flu. It's not the flu. You know what? Guess what? You can compare it in almost every substantive way to the flu, and the parallels there are precise.
Yeah.
So we're going to go back and say that this is very much like the flu, and it could be something that we're dealing with every year. Now, the question is next year, do we shut the world down again?
Yeah.
You know, over this, that we know we need to get prepared, that this there's a very good probability that this coronavirus, COVID-19, or the next strain of it, the annually mutating strains, are going to kill, 50, 100,000, maybe even 500,000, like influenza does. So people are going to die from this every year, and we have to decide if we're going to keep, destroying our freedoms and destroying our prosperity over this disease.
Yeah.
It makes no sense to me.
And you know how before we always talk about how there's people that hide behind the children or people that hide behind the troops in order to advance their, their authoritarian psychopath nature.
Right.
Now it's people that are hiding behind the scientists. That's what it is.
The expense of the children.
Yeah. Because all they want is the control. Like, they are using this instance right now in order to garner control. It is a wet dream for the authoritarian psychopaths to really garner the control. Because you can see which areas of the country have these authoritarian psychopath people and which ones have ones that are not as authoritarian psychopaths as others.
Right.
Like, if you see in certain elected areas, especially the ones where people live in a lot closer groupings together.
I would say the closest parallel is population density. Where the population density is greater, you see the more authoritarian crackdowns. And that's just, natural. People living closer together want other people to be controlled.
Yes, they do. And people who live further apart
don't care.
They want to be left alone.
Right.
Even the people that they end up getting elected instinctively would rather be left alone because they realize that if they're going to try to, bring their authoritarian psychopath nature to those areas, it's going to be met with, guns.
Right. And space always equals freedom.
Yes.
If you have space to breathe, then you have more freedom than someone who's packed in a box on top of another box.
You want people to spread out, man. I think if there was one thing that I wish would happen from this, it would be that people would realize that we need to spread out. Like, we need urban sprawl is not a bad thing. It's a good thing, and it needs to happen more. You need people to actually live on more land themselves and to get away from other people.
I totally disagree. We need to get more urbanized. This segment brought to you by Agenda 21. I knew you were going to go there eventually.
Such an asshole.
I knew you were going to get to Agenda 21.
I didn't say it. You did, motherfucker.
You were about to.
No, I wasn't.
I wasn't. You were 3 degrees of separation from Agenda 21.
No, I wasn't.
Next, it's going to be 5G.
I can't believe it.
Coronavirus was an inside job.
In any... It is crazy on how the crazies just come out, though.
Well, you know, there's, again,
it pisses me off that they hijack shit. Like, I just want to smack them in the fucking head. Like, it's why I can't be a libertarian anymore, because I want to violate their rights by smacking them right in the back of the head.
You know who's a fucking statist who I never realized is Nick Sarwak.
Yeah.
The chair of the LP. Man, oh, yeah. he keeps coming on my page and talking shit like, you know, how wonderful the government shutdowns are and shit.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, are you fucking kidding me? You are really in the wrong business, dude.
Oh, he's a...
Yeah, and lashing out at me. Like, well, at least I didn't quit the party. Fuck you, dude. Go run your party. You know?
Yeah, you're running into the ground.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, yeah. It's crazy.
Even though this week, though, you may see... And again, he's teasing it, but Amash may end up running for president as a libertarian.
Yeah, well, you're great.
So, we'll see what happens.
Yeah, maybe he'll get 1.5% this time.
Maybe.
Doubt it.
I doubt it, though.
Yeah, it's fuck it, man. You know?
I have no... Well, here's the thing. We've tried electoral politics a couple times, and we know what happens there.
Yeah, we need to cleanse it with fire at this point.
Well, it was... Look, everybody's too damn scared to vote anyway, but, you know, red team or blue team.
Yeah, well, and again, it goes to show you, it's like people can't even think their way through it properly. And again, I keep harping back on these protests. And again, folks, if you went out and protest in the past few days, I do respect that, and I appreciate that, and I know that your heart's in the right place. Yeah, exactly. But the fact that you're asking government permission and your justification for why you don't go out and open your business just and do things in defiance is because, well, they'll take away my license. You know, it's like, what? Oh, so you mean that little piece of paper that you have to beg government for? You're begging government to allow you to reopen your business because you don't want government to take away the little piece of paper that you have to beg government for to open your business. You see what I'm saying? It's just, you got to defy all the way. And I'm telling you, folks, if 1% of the people do that, they crack down on it. If 5% of the people do it, they ignore it. And if 20% of the people do it, they change the laws.
Yeah.
That's how the world works. So again, it's safety in numbers, but for all you people protesting, if you just instead started just opening your business and say, screw you, I don't care about you. You know what? Pull my business license. I'll keep opening anyway. You'll have to come here every day and arrest me, you know, for running a business. And that's the other thing. The charges that they're bringing are completely bullshit charges. I think they're charging you under Florida Statute 250.02, which is basically a law that says in an emergency, the government can make any order they want, and if you violate it, it's a second-degree misdemeanor.
Statute 252.50.
252.50. Yeah. Okay. Well played, by the way. Excellent research work on your part.
Well, actually, it was more on your part because you're the one that put the link up.
Oh, did I? That's right. But the point is that, you know, it's a law that essentially says in an emergency, we can do whatever we want. Mm-hmm. No, they can't. No, I got this document called the Bill of Rights that says, no, you can't do that. Yeah. And the first thing that they talked about was freedom of assembly. Mm-hmm. You're allowed to get together with whoever you want as long as you're not violent.
Yeah.
Pretty
like the government. Yeah. Here's the thing. You're not allowed to do this. The government's not at the end of the day, whether you think it's a good idea or not, whether you think that we should have 6 feet rules or not, whatever you think is irrelevant to the fact that you're not allowed to enforce that on other people.
Yeah. The First Amendment literally says that government can't make a rule preventing you from assembling.
Yeah.
And
it doesn't say with the exception of a virus.
They're literally arresting people because they made an emergency rule to prevent people from assembling.
Do you know how many more people were dying of viruses then?
Right.
Like,
yeah.
It's not like it was really clean back in the day, and now all of a sudden the virus... Yeah. Well, if they would have known about the virus, then they wouldn't have put that in the Constitution.
Yeah, they had smallpox, folks.
Yeah, they had...
Try that on
They
for
had
size.
Shit that would kill you all the time.
Right.
Like, the odds of you making it to 18 weren't that high.
They would have 20 children... So that 7 survived.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah.
That's why they did that.
Exactly.
Yeah. Like,
that's the thing. Like, they are violating the Constitution, and they're utilizing your fear of this virus in order to do it. And not everywhere in the world has done it this way, by the way, and have shown decent results.
Yeah, Sweden. It's pretty much about the same. Whether they shut down or not, it's about the same results. The curves... And again, this whole flattening the curve thing is such bullshit because, you know what? The vast majority of the people don't need to go to the hospital.
Yeah.
You know? And most of the people who are actually going to really suffer and die are already in some type of assisted living facility or hospice or something like that. So the people that are primarily going to die from this are already in essentially a medical facility.
Yeah, they got 1 foot in the grave anyway.
Right. Yeah.
Well, now, don't get me wrong.
I don't want people to die. So I don't like saying things like that. No. I don't want anyone to die. But the fact
is... But you can't do anything to stop it.
You have to look at objective reality. You know, when an 80-some-odd-year-old person who already has COPD dies of coronavirus, it's not a surprise. They were going to die of something anytime now anyway.
Yeah.
You know, it's not cold-hearted. There's no emotion in it. It's just an objective fact.
Yeah.
You know?
But those facilities should do everything they can in order to make sure that nobody gets in there with this virus that will go around and eliminate all of them.
Right. That's the one thing I would have supported is if you quarantined the people at risk. Not everyone. Just quarantine the people at risk.
Yeah. Like, if you would have gone about it the correct way, you would have been able to not tank the economy. You would have been able to actually probably save as many lives as you were going to save anyway, and allowed free people to walk around free and have more resources. So now we don't have everybody that's running like this whole paycheck protection thing. That thing's run out of money.
It ran
out of money.
Yeah.
And they won't do it. And Pelosi stopping it from the political games that they're going to play.
Tampa Bay Times got their $8 million, though.
Of course they did.
Yeah.
Like the well-connected companies got their money. Of course they
exactly.
did.
Exactly. But I represent small businesses that are not getting it because the money ran out. Because the paperwork was so complex to do it. The paperwork, you know, they ran out of time. The money was gone before they could actually get everything processed and get all the stuff from their accountant and their attorney and blah, 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 blah that you had to present. It was ridiculous.
Oh, yeah. Well, and again, they're going to use this in order to jam through another $4 trillion package.
Good.
To get all their other pet projects that they didn't get funded.
I think that's awesome. In fact, I am promoting that they give every American $10,000 a month for the next 10 years.
For the next 10 years.
Next 10 years. Yeah.
$10,000 a month. Huh?
$10,000 a month for 10 years.
Yeah, there you go.
I mean, yeah, what the hell? The numbers don't matter anymore.
Well, I guess that you're right.
Run out of money, you print more.
Yeah, I guess, you know, MMT now. This right. country is now supporting MMT.
Yeah.
I think that's going to be the one thing that on the negative side, that could happen to where they're just going to admit it finally that they're just printing money out of thin air.
UBI is coming.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's all coming.
That's crazy.
But it's going to be interesting because it's going to coincide with a complete economic collapse. It's going to be funny how history looks back at this. You know, are they going to say, and here's probably what they're going to say, like they did the Great Depression, that, you know, well, we had the coronavirus and because of that, you know, we slipped into a great global depression and the solution to it was for governments to spend a lot of money and, you know, do work projects and infrastructure and, you know, the TVA too. And you know what I'm saying? Mm. That's exactly how it's going to come out.
Well, it's going to be written by the victors. Well, history will be written by those that won.
I don't think that it's sustainable this time. So I think hopefully enough people are smart enough to realize that it's a smokescreen and B that, you know, it doesn't work, you know, at least not the way they're trying to do it, because if it works the way they're trying to do it, then we're just screwed.
Yeah.
Well, we're kind of screwed either way.
So. I guess so. But here's the thing, though. Kudos to people for this week because, you know, obviously people listened to the podcast last week. They were felt judged by you for you calling them out, and nationwide people decided to take action. So it does show you the immense reach of the unattended baggage show that we have on society as a whole.
Well, remember that I predicted 2 weeks ago that the protests would start in 2 weeks, and I was pretty much on target within a couple of days.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
You said civil unrest more than protest, though.
Yeah, I was actually a little...
Your claim was not the same as
this. It was
this
a
claim.
Little lighter than I was expecting. And again, I said there would be civil unrest, and I thought it was going to be in two camps, the people who were demanding money from the government and the people who were saying, let me reopen. And so far, it's only been the protest from the people saying, let me reopen.
Oh, yeah, that's all it's been.
Yeah. I'm surprised that I guess a lot of people are already getting their checks.
Oh, yeah. A ton of people have already gotten their
checks.
Yeah,
see, that's what's mollifying that camp. I expected that to take longer. I really didn't think the checks would come in as quick as they did.
Oh, yeah. Well, those checks, the $1,200 checks, those have come in, are coming in a lot quicker. I didn't get one, but
I noticed a lot of big screen TVs going out of Walmart.
Did you see, really?
I've heard that. Yeah.
Oh, I haven't seen that yet. Yeah. Oh, the food delivery stuff has gone through the roof. And if there is a group of people that I actually in some ways feel bad for right now,
yeah,
it is the people that are working at restaurants right now.
Oh yeah.
Like when you go
most of them aren't working.
Well, the ones that are working, they just look so frazzled, man, because they can't handle the overwhelming amount of orders that they're getting.
Really?
Like they can't handle it. Wow. They're not equipped to handle it. Okay. Because there's competing rules here that are getting in the way.
Okay.
They can't fully staff in these places because they can't have more than 10 people in there working at one time.
Okay.
So.
Oh, so they're understaffed.
Okay.
But so the kitchens are working on skeleton crews.
But the demand is through the roof.
Is it really higher than it would be if they had a dining room full of people?
It seems that way.
Does it?
I mean.
I think it's. I bet it's not. I bet it's actually lower, but the fact that they can only have 10 people working is
I think it's the understaffed part that probably is the problem. And the lines are going around the buildings on a lot of these places now. Like if you go to Steak and Shake.
Right.
Steak and Shake, especially Steak and Shake. Like their line is always around the building.
Right.
And it's just crazy to the delivery guys, like if you're doing food delivery, you can just walk in.
Right.
But nobody else can though.
Right.
So
the pickup people have to wait.
Yeah, yeah. And Steak and Shake doesn't work like McDonald's.
But wait a second. They're also spacing 6 feet between people in those lines, right?
Well, no, they're in cars.
Oh, the drive-through lines.
Yeah, they're in the drive-through lines.
Right.
Yeah, they're not walking in. They're in the drive-through.
Okay.
And some of these places.
But the pickup places walk in the restaurant and pick it up.
You can.
Okay.
Not everybody knows that, though. So some of them don't. But
why would you sit in the drive-through?
Because some places are closed where you can't even walk in their building, though.
Oh, really?
Like some of the places, like Arby's, you can't even go in the building.
Yeah.
And some of the Arby's. The rules are different for different places.
Okay.
So I always try the door first. McDonald's, you can't go in McDonald's.
That's not true. I was in McDonald's the other day.
You're not supposed. Well, again, I guess different rules for different places, but all the McDonald's up there, you can't go through.
Okay.
So I have to remember which ones you can go through. And then
they had the dining room taped off, but you could still go and order and carry out.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, wow. That's pretty cool, actually. There was one you were able to do that, and then they stopped it. But then I went to some, and the sushi places are really difficult, too, because everybody still orders at the sushi places, but the sushi takes a long time, and I think the sushi chefs are getting so pissed off.
Oh, yeah.
So they're making them slow. So I went into a place last night. I actually went to the sushi place last night, and there was 20 people inside.
Oh, really?
And the first thing I said was, I'm sure we're violating some law by being in here right now. And everybody just started, we're kind of laughing, but then they were really pissed because the reason that there was 20 people in there, 30 people in there, was because they were way backed up.
Well, it takes a long time to make sushi.
They stopped doing orders. People were calling and they're we can't take any more orders. And then we're just ending it there.
Right.
And so it was interesting. It's very interesting to see which food places are doing better and which ones are doing worse. And I do think that you are going to see a complete change in the landscape of how we get fast food or how we get prepared food delivered to us and what those restaurants are going to look like on the other side of this.
There's going to be a lot of changes to the world.
I'm actually looking.
Things are going to be different coming out of this.
Some of them are good changes. I think some of them are going to actually be good changes.
I hate having food delivered to me.
Why?
I don't like it.
Well, then, why don't you like getting food delivered to you?
Why would I want something that came out of the kitchen hot and fresh to go in a box, go in someone's car, sit in traffic, and get to me in a styrofoam thing that's, lukewarm? Why would I want that?
Hmm. I mean, I guess I understand what you're saying.
Yeah, I want something. If I want something prepared, I want it coming steaming out of the kitchen.
Hmm. Okay, I can understand that. I mean,
At that point, I'd rather make it at home.
I got you. I can understand that point. People really like the food delivery, though. They're really happy with it.
I don't at all, except for pizza.
Well, why pizza?
Conditioning. I've been conditioned all my life to accept delivered pizza. And it's not bad cold. Or lukewarm.
If they have those little boxes, though, it makes it still... I'll tell you this right now. There's a lot with the packaging that you can do.
Yeah, they do come hotter now.
You can bring them pretty hot.
Yeah.
When I'm pulling them out of the bag, they're still hot out of the bag because I have thermal containers and stuff.
Right.
So probably why I get good tips.
That probably is, yeah.
Oh, it definitely has something to do with it. Definitely has something to do with it, so.
What else we got on the list there? All right, we got stuff to say for the second hour. The second hour, now folks, the second hour, you got to tune in. If you're not a subscriber, go to patreon.com/unattendedbaggage. The second hour, Alex and I are going to do rock and roll, name that tune. So one of us is going to play a song. The other one's not going to know the name of the song. They're going to have to give title and artist. I'm going to say 1 point for title, 1 point for artist, and a bonus point if you can name the album.
Okay. All right. Okay. I'll go with that.
However, it has to be, if we don't know definitively what the album is, then we have to, you know, both agree that that is correct.
Okay. All right.
So we can't, you know, it has to be a mutual agreement, or you can, you know, Google it or something.
Yeah.
So yeah, that's what we'll do. I say, what do you think? 20 songs each?
Yeah, we'll go 20 songs.
Yeah, I got the list made. You see, I already made up like a score sheet. Oh yeah, we're going to town, man.
Yeah, you did some work on this.
I'm thinking we ought to place our usual one silver dollar bet.
Really?
On it. Who do you think will win?
Maybe.
But we got to lay down some ground rules. You can't go anything obscure. You can't go anything deep cut, you know, B-side stuff.
Yeah.
It has to be something that got radio airplay, at least a decent amount of radio airplay. Yeah. You know, it has to be something that, you know, that we should know.
Okay.
Okay. Right, so that's right, kind of gentleman's agreement on that.
All right. Role. I'll go with that.
Yeah.
All right. I'll go with that.
So if you want to tune in and play along at home and see if you can actually beat us, we'd love to hear if you're actually better than us. I doubt you will be, because I am awesome. Go to unattendedbaggage.com. Or no, that's not it. What's our Patreon.com.
Patreon.com/unattendedbaggage.
And just sign up for $2 a month. I mean, actually, you should sign up for $5 or $10 a month. We'd love you forever for that. But even right now, are we still running the special?
Yeah.
Even right now, if you sign up at the $2 level, you get all the swag.
Yeah.
You get stickers. You get the This Is Not a Bomb gym bag.
And you'll get extra swag, too. And you'll get extra swag, too. Like, you might get a book.
There's all kinds of bonus stuff going on right now.
Oh, yeah.
So,
like, my swag, my excess swag bag is going to be emptied with this.
Yeah. So, go to patreon.com/unattendedbaggage. Sign up, and we will see you in the second hour. Can you play the outro? Or are you just, I've been sitting here stalling, waiting for the outro, dragging it out. Would you please be a radio professional?
What do you hear right now?
I finally took long enough.
Well, because you didn't do the thing.
You've been listening to Unattended. Oh, I didn't do the point?
Yeah.
I did forget to do the point. This is Unattended Baggage. We'll see you on the other side.